Okay. I get the privilege this morning of introducing Austin Davidheiser to you. He's been at the church for a long time. Austin, how many years have you guys been attending this church?
I've been here for 25 or 24. I'm 24, so.
Okay. So he has been at this church his whole life, and he is headed into missionary work at Camp Beach Point. I'll let him introduce all of that to you. I don't want to take any of his time. But we will vote on whether or not to commission him as our missionary. So we would be his sending church. We're going to vote on that at our quarterly meeting on March 20th. So you want to make sure if you want to vote for him, you can show up on March 20th and be part of that vote. Just so you're aware, because I think a lot of people aren't aware, that we, of our missions budget and the missions emphasis here at church, the emphasis of going to them, was here a long time before I was. Right now, our church is giving $72,000 a year to missions. So that's an important part of our church culture, is giving money away to missions. And so another part of that is our church will, of course, if we're going to commission him, take him on as one of the missionaries we support. So we will do that. But you should also know that when missionaries like Austin go out and get started, whether they're going to a foreign field or whether they're right here at home, they usually have to raise at least 50% from individuals. So maybe 50% will come from churches. Usually at least 50% comes from individuals. I say that to tell you, while he has all of your attention, be thinking about whether or not you would partner with him in prayer and financially. So, great. Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, man, I have been attending this church for a long time. I remember the first time I got up to speak on the stage, I was in eighth grade. We had just come back from a missions trip to Spain. And I think I had like maybe 2 minutes to speak. And that 2 minutes was just nerve-wracking for me. I was like sitting in my chair, like waiting to go up. I'm like kind of rocking back and forth, sick to my stomach. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to, that's 2 minutes. How am I going to fill 2 minutes? That's like five sentences. And now I have 30 minutes to speak. So, like the screen says, and like Pastor said, I work out at Camp Beach Point. I grew up there, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Kind of what I would like to do today is I would like to kind of present what Camp Beach Point is, kind of tell my story, my testimony, how God led me to work at camp, and then talk about my specific role. Now, for many of you who have been attending this church for a while, you are very familiar with camp. Some of you have worked at camp. You've been out to our events, so you're very familiar with what we do. Other people here have not, so I'm going to briefly go through that. Before I do, when I say the word camp, what comes to mind? For some of you, it might be something like this, right? Camping is uncomfortable. You're outside. You're sleeping on the ground. You're going to smell like smoke. There's going to be a whole bunch of bugs and mosquitoes. You're too close to nature, right? Now, that's not what I think of when I think of camping. I think of this, Camp Beach Point. Side note, I was going to have an awesome video of last summer to play when at that point, but the file was too large and it froze the computer. All right, so now you get to hear me describe what camp is. Camp is a place where kids come to have fun, right? That's kind of a big essential part of camp. Kids are coming for a whole week. They want to be entertained, right? But as you see on the sign there, we are a Christian camp, and probably even more important than fun is sharing the gospel. Camp has been around since 1959, so it's been there for a while. It was used kind of throughout the 60s as a extension of Chicago Child Evangelism Fellowship. It was there to bring kids out of the city and have a week of camp where staff could intentionally minister to the campers that they brought out. Now, through the 70s, camp was hardly used. It kind of lay dormant until the early 80s when the new CEF director in Chicago, James Davidheiser, my grandfather, decided to kind of revive it. And so throughout the early 80s, he was starting to fix up the old decrepit buildings and just work at making this a nice place. And in the late 80s, he called my father, Mark Davidheiser, up from Texas to be the full-time camp director. And since that point in 1987, we have been living at Camp Beach Point. Now, I didn't come on the scene until 1991. So, you know, there's a little bit of a gap there, but I've grown up at Beach Point. And, you know, we started as a extension of Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we still kind of maintain ties, but camp is now its own entity. It's its own not-for-profit company. But our mission is very much the same. We are here to serve urban and under-resourced youth with the gospel of Christ. About 70% of our campers come from Chicago. The rest come from Southwest Michigan and Detroit. Now, last week, Kids Hope was here. We have partnered with Kids Hope for a long time. We've had their campers or their children out to be campers, and that's an area we are hoping to increase in because our ministries are so in line. They go hand in hand, and where Kids Hope goes throughout the school year, during the summer, there might be some meeting up, but it's very limited. And camp is an awesome place to continue that mentoring throughout the summer. So we serve the urban and under-resourced. So urban, yeah, that makes sense. They come from the city. Under-resourced. A lot of our kids can't afford a week of camp. We go after the kids who would not be able to attend camp without help. That's where our heart is. There are a lot of great camps, and I'm not going to knock them because, you know, as long as they are out there serving God and reaching kids for Christ, then they're doing what they need to be doing. But for us, our heart is the kids who wouldn't be able to afford to go to those camps. And so around 80 to 85% of our kids come on scholarship, and we do a lot of fundraising throughout the year to raise that money so that kids would be able to come to camp. All right, so that's a little bit of who we are, what we do at camp. Again, we have fun. We have a whole bunch of activities. We have archery and riflery and go-karts and rock wall and zip line and swimming and fishing and boating, and the list goes on and on. The kids who come out, they're going to have fun. But it's very purposeful. It's very intentional. Everything that we do, we have our staff. We have two staff for every 10 kids in a cabin. And those staff members at every activity, they are talking with their kids. They're figuring out where their kids are with Christ. And everything is designed so that, you know, one staff person is leading the group in this activity, and then the other staff person is pulling a camper to the side and having a one-on-one conversation. That's where our ministry happens, in the one-on-one conversations, in a canoe, right? Going fishing, walking to the zip line. That's where ministry happens at camp. Now, last summer, we had roughly 1,200 campers. Back when my dad started, they had like 1 week of camp, you know, 60 to 80 kids, if that. And it's grown in the past 30 years to the point where we have 1,200 campers a summer. and we're hoping to continue to grow that number. We would like to be at 1,600 campers a summer by next year. And we are working hard to build new cabins and new facilities so we can handle that number. But we are going after more campers so we can have a larger impact. You see, campers have fun with our activities, but the main point is introducing them to Christ. And if they know Christ, then how do they go deeper? How do they turn that salvation, that relationship with God, how do they make that stronger? How do they grow in their faith? And last summer, we were blessed to be a part of the ministry that happened there, and there were over 200 spiritual decisions, and that's like 150 salvations, and the rest are recommitments of their faith, and it's amazing to be a part of that. So that's a brief look at what Camp Beach Point is. I know a lot of you have been out there and are very familiar, so I'll keep that part pretty brief. Now, my story. Yeah, try and guess which one I am. That's a picture of my sister, and she'll probably hate me for showing it with her bowl cut. Hashtag 90s kids. Yeah, I grew up at Camp Beach Point, and man, that was a great place to grow up. Pretty much had free rein over the whole property. I spent a good amount of my time growing up playing out in the woods, building forts, going fishing, getting into trouble, got into a lot of trouble. Now, parents, I just want you to imagine, all right, your young son, all right, and then give him, you know, a whole camp, you know, 100 acres or so to roam around in, and no adult supervision, all right? And then you can kind of start figuring out the kind of trouble I got into. If there was anything that went wrong, I was the first person that they came to, you know, solve it. And I was not alone. Sam Wallace spent a lot of time out there. I remember one time, I'm getting sidetracked, but whatever. One time we were young kids, probably 10 or so, just kind of roaming around camp. We found this bucket, like literally like a 5-gallon bucket, but a big bucket full of double bubble chewing gum. And now, of course, we took it because we're like, well, it's bubble gum. We're kids. We need this. We didn't know what it was being used for, whatever. But we took it. We ran off into the woods. It's the first sign that we knew we were doing something wrong. We ran off and hid in the woods. But we would chew the gum, you know, get a huge wad of gum until it lost flavor, and we'd spit it out, and we'd just keep going until the whole bucket was gone. Yep, it was good times. My jaw ached for a week. If any of you have read Augustine's Confessions, this is my stolen pear moment. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff I would get into. So I was kind of like a little deviant child. You know, still, like, I accepted Christ at a young age, when I was 4 years old, and, you know, had this, you know, golden ticket. You know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know that. But my faith wasn't really real to me. Grew up at camp, going to church. I had a whole bunch of spiritual knowledge, but I had no way to use it, or I didn't really make it real in my life, so I got into a lot of trouble, and I just kind of took it for granted that I was a Christian. You know, it's just who I was. It's who my family was. You know, my family was were missionaries, so I was, you know, just kind of, you know, I'm on good standing with God, just because of my family legacy. You know, I got my golden ticket, so I'm good. And it took me a while to kind of break from that mindset. As I got older, I joined summer staff. I was at LIT, which is Leader in Training, so that's kind of a teen volunteer for a while. You know, it was kind of cool, you know, working with kids, but it was also like volunteering, so it's like, you know, you do all the work and don't get paid, so it wasn't a huge favorite for me, but it definitely started me learning that my faith is not just for myself, that I'm supposed to be out there sharing it with other people. I'm supposed to be serving other people. And so it was kind of an introduction to kind of a missionary mindset. After I was in LIT, I got lifeguard certified, so I got to lifeguard at camp, which was a lot of fun. Got to be out in the sun all day, so I got nice and tan, so that kind of stoked my ego, which is good. And then after high school, I graduated and I went to college, and I went to Wheaton College, and it was a chance for me to kind of grow spiritually as well as academically. It was a chance for me to get out on my own and kind of leave kind of my parents' household and kind of leave their spiritual protection, I guess. And going out on my own, I had to figure out, you know, what do I believe for myself? Not just what my parents believe. Is this faith something that I accept myself? And that was huge to start wrestling with those questions, figuring out what I truly believe, and having those beliefs confirmed through studying Scripture. During that time, during the summers, I would come back and work at camp, and I was working as a cabin leader, so I'm, again, moving up the ladder of camp. Started from the bottom, now I'm here, right? And I would work with a cabin of 10 kids, and I remember my first week of camp. I was, you know, this is me, you know, having lived at camp, grown up at camp, worked for summers at camp. My first week of camp, I'm like so nervous. I'm like kind of rocking back and forth, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I have 10 kids who I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for their safety. I have to like manage them, and I have to share the gospel with them, and like their not only their physical safety but their eternal security, right? I'm responsible for that in some small part, and so it's nerve-wracking. But as soon as the kids got there and we started doing stuff, it was a blast. I loved interacting with them. I loved leading them through activities and having fun with them. I loved sharing the gospel with them. I loved teaching, teaching kids especially. And here I am in this picture, I'm teaching them how to build a fire. That's what I love about camp, is being able to teach kids and help them experience their firsts, right? First time to catch a fish, first time to ride a bike, learning how to build a fire, watching them see so many stars in the sky, and being able to tie all of that back to God, and talking about creation and how God created everything and how he created them and how he created them special and unique and how he loves them. I love that opportunity that camp gives, because everything out there can be connected back to God. After I was a cabin leader, I moved up again. I was a coach or a unit leader and then program director, and these were my program team. So I moved from, you know, running a cabin to running four cabins, right, as a coach or a unit leader. So I was managing other cabin leaders and their kids. And what that experience taught me was discipline, because the kids who couldn't handle being in a cabin for behavioral issues, they would come out and they'd stay with me one-on-one. And, you know, that was difficult, because I always got the angry kids, right? The ones who are frustrated. But, you know, after they calmed down, I found that was the best time to share the gospel with them. Last summer, I had a kid who was, you know, fed up with camp. He was just done. So he, you know, was packing up his stuff, and he just stormed off up the lane. He was going to walk home. Of course, he was from Chicago, so, you know, it wasn't really realistic. But I kind of followed him, trailed him, and once I got him calmed down and heading back to camp, we just sat on the porch for an hour, and we just kind of were sitting in rocking chairs, and we were talking, and it was nighttime, so I was pointing out stars and different constellations, and talking about how, you know, God created the universe, and just, you know, really light stuff. And then he just started asking questions. He started asking about how God created, you know, how God created the world. And we started talking about Genesis. And then he's like, and then we talked about sin and how sin entered the world. And just from this kid being so frustrated that he's walking out of camp, God turned it and used it as an opportunity for me to share the gospel with this child. And it was just amazing just to see that 180 degree turn. Now, after going back to this point, I was graduating from college and looking at what I was going to do with my life. And, you know, camping wasn't really on my radar. And you might think, you know, having grown up at camp, worked there all, you know, every summer, that it was just like a natural thing. It wasn't. I wasn't going to be in camping. I wanted to teach. I wanted to be a history teacher or do something in that field. But, you know, I was graduating, and I was kind of looking at what I was going to do, and my dad encouraged me to just look at, you know, the skill set that God had given me and, you know, the desires and the passions that he put on my heart and kind of figure out where those match up. And I was like, okay, I don't want to work in an office because that sounds really boring. No offense to anyone who works in offices. So I want to be outside. You know, past couple summers working at camp, I enjoy working with kids. I enjoy teaching them. And then everything, like my whole list, it just said camp, 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 you know. So after I graduated, I did a year-long internship at Beach Point. Partly because it was familiar, it was kind of a nice, easy transition from college into something that I knew. After that year-long internship, I was starting to figure out where I really wanted to land, right? Where I really wanted to settle down. And I was like, all right, I know Camp Beach Point, I love what they do, but I want to try something different because I don't want this to be my only experience, right? I want to see if there's something else that is better, that fits what I want to do better. And so I moved down to Texas. I worked at a Christian camp down there. I worked at Sky Ranch. And their ministry could not be more different. It was a large, large camp, probably 5 to 7 times larger than Beach Point. They have about 800 kids a week, where we have about 150. So it's a different size, but it's also exists to serve the social elite of Dallas, so the very wealthy. So even the ministry, like the focus was different. And I served there for a year. I went down there. I was a program called the Fellowship. And what I would do is I would teach outdoor education throughout the week. On the weekends, I would run retreats. And then kind of the capstone to the program was I would plan and run their day camp along with the other fellows in our program. So I taught outdoor education. And this was probably my most enjoyed part is when I got to like dress up and like play a character. So right here, I'm playing a French nobleman, kind of pulling my best French noble face, I guess, kind of proud and arrogant. That's what I'm going for, at least. And then on the other side, I was playing a Texan when I was teaching Texas history, talking about the Texas Revolution, how they won independence from Mexico. Texans are very proud of that fact. That's right. They constantly remind you that Texas has the right to leave the Union if they want to. So I taught outdoor education, and I loved doing that. It really developed my speaking ability, my teaching, because I had 3 hours, right, and a group of 30 kids, and I had to keep them learning and entertained for 3 hours until, you know, we were done. So, again, a lot of practice is very, very formative. And then we also planned the day camps and ran those. And it was that summer when we were running day camps in Dallas. On the weekends, I would phone my parents up, and I would ask them questions, you know, how's camp going? You know, what's new? And when they were talking to me about camp, they were saying, oh, this person did this, and this week this group was here from Chicago. I'm like, oh, I love those people. And what it just confirmed in my heart is I was more passionate about the ministry that was happening at Beach Point than I was that the day camps that I was running. And so that just kind of sealed the deal. I just knew in my heart that I need to go back to Beach Point, even if that means, you know, taking a huge pay cut or whatever it is, and moving back home. That's what I need to do. And so August 2014, I moved back to Michigan and joined full-time as the program director at Camp Beach Point. Now, I've used that term a couple times, program director. And some of you might be kind of confused, or maybe you don't know exactly what all that entails. So I'm going to kind of break down what my job is, so you are aware. My job is pretty much twofold, at least that's how I like to see it. I have my ministry to campers, and I have my ministry to our staff. Okay? Now, with campers, that's kind of the obvious part. That's the part that you might picture in your mind when you think of, you know, a program person at camp. It's the person who is running the schedule, keeping everything on time. It is the person who's making the activities, making sure that the activities have everything that they need to function. But it's also ministering to kids. So there's kind of a behind the scenes, and then there's an upfront part where you are leading them through Bible times or through games or what have you. And honestly, this right here on the screen, this is my favorite part of camp. This is fireside. At the end of each day, we kind of bring everyone together. We sing a couple songs, and then someone shares a Bible story. And after that Bible story, kids are encouraged to stay behind and talk to their cabin leader if they have spiritual questions. This right here, at least in my opinion, is where the Holy Spirit is most active. This is an amazing ministry tool for us. And so I love being able to share a Bible story and then stay behind and talk to kids. So that's kind of what I do for the campers. I'm, you know, making sure there's new activities for them to do, making sure that everything runs on time, and that everything just kind of flows, that the summer program is successful. And everything I do for the campers is pretty much, you know, summer focused. Now, my other part is to our staff, right? And what I believe, you know, our motto is lives are changed at camp. And that is definitely true for our campers, but I think it's also true for our staff. Our staff are from, you know, various different colleges. We hire about 50 every summer. And it is an opportunity for them to put into practice everything that they've learned. You know, as Christians growing up, oftentimes we build up all these spiritual truths, all these, you know, a whole bunch of biblical knowledge, but we don't have a way to practice it, right? Or sometimes we just don't take the opportunity to practice it. Camp is a place where you have to do that. Everything you learn, you have to put into practice because these campers are watching you 24/7. They're looking to see if what you say matches your life, to see if you are living a consistent life. And so because of that and just kind of the difficulties that camp life brings, it forces you to not only live your faith but go deeper, because there's no way you can do, you know, 8 weeks of the summer without God's help, right? It's just, it's that difficult. You need to rely on God's strength. So it is hugely formative in the life of our college staff. So my role in the staff is I go out recruiting. Throughout the majority of the year, that's probably my biggest role in the off season, as I go to different Christian colleges and Christian organizations like InterVarsity. I go and I present camp and ask people to work there. And it's fun. It's kind of awkward sometimes. You're, you know, set up with your little booth and college students are walking by and they're not making eye contact. And it's like, all right, cool. And, you know, you hand them a little flyer, say, you want to work at camp? And they're like, no. You're like, all right. So you face a lot of rejection, but that's kind of goes with it. So I recruit, I interview, and then I hire our staff. And that's my job during the off season. During the actual summer, I help with the staff training, help with leading the staff, making sure that they are spiritually equipped for the job at hand, as well as practically equipped, like they know everything that they need to know. And then kind of discipleship, you know, meeting with them, checking up with them, seeing how they are doing spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and just making sure that they have everything that they need to be successful, because our staff are front lines. You know, I'm up here, you know, in the captain seat calling out orders, and the staff are the ones who are on the front lines actually doing it. They're in the trenches with the kids, right? They're the hands-on ministers at camp, and so I want to make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful. So that is kind of who I am. And again, you see here just the relationships that are built at camp. And that's our focus, is building relationships with our campers so that when you present the gospel, they can trust you. And Pastor is kind of creeping up, so I realize my time is done. That is my ministry. That's camp, and that's what I do at camp.
So Austin had no idea I was going to ask him a couple questions, but Austin, I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
Kind of put you on the spot. The first one is the most important one. How can they support you, Austin? So if an individual here sees what you're doing, ministering to kids who couldn't go to camp except for Camp Beach Point, and they say, I want to support that, How can they do that?
Yeah, so if you go to our website, beachpoint.org, there's a donation page. If you would like to give to camper scholarships or, you know, our building fund, there's a place for that. If you would like to support me personally, there's a place for that as well, and you can set up a reoccurring, you know, like a monthly thing or just a one-time gift, either way. And either that or just, you know, send a check in the mail. Or come talk to me afterwards and, you know, we can figure something out.
Because these will be tax-deductible
gifts. Yeah.
Okay. And if they want to send a kid to camp that they know, that they love, that they want to send to Camp Beach Point, or if they have kids, they want to go to Camp Beach Point, or if they have teenagers that they want out of the house serving at Camp Beach Point, how would they do that?
Again, you would go to our website, beachpoint.org. You can register online. for whatever week of camp you would like to send your kids. If you'd like to send a teenager as a LIT, you would get in contact with Dave Ditzler, who is our camp director and in charge of the LIT program, and you would contact him about applying to be an LIT.
If there's somebody who says, I want to make sure there's money for the kids in Chicago or the kids in Detroit or the kids in West Michigan to go to camp that can't afford camp, how can they give specifically to that? Is that like on the donate page?
Right. On the donate page, you would enter in kind of the amount, but then there's also a little text option where you can designate where you'd like those funds to go.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Austin, right. If you can head to the back.
All right.
They can talk to you on the way out. Austin will hang out for a little while if you want to catch up with him. Let me pray, and we'll be done. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you came yourself to die in our place, and that we thank you, too, for your resurrection power as you rose bodily from the dead, giving us resurrection hope. Lord, now, because we believe in your death, burial, and resurrection, help us learn to follow you. And go where you tell us to go and do what you tell us to do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.